You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. Having expanded west to Miami from its Swiss hometown of Basel more than 10 years ago, Art Basel is now heading east for its inaugural Hong Kong exhibition, which kicks off next week, starting on the 23rd of May. Set to attract gallerists, collectors, artists and art enthusiasts, the admission and selection process for the fair itself was a lengthy and difficult one. And Malaysia's own Wailing Gallery has made the cut with artist Ivan Lam's piece titled Compendium of Malaysian Art, or in short called COMA. Lim Wailing and Ivan Lam join me to give the lowdown on the Art Basel and to discuss what their participation means for the visual art scene here in Malaysia. Welcome back, both of you.
Hi, Mira. Hi.
It's been a long time, actually. Well, we've not had Ivan on for a while. just before we go into your whole project called COMA, Ivan, just before that, Wailing, China is now said to be the world's second largest art market after the US, and Southeast Asia's wealthy have grown into voracious collectors of regional art and pushing the value of Asian works even higher. Would you say the Asian region has never been more important in the visual art scene,
Absolutely, Mira. Absolutely. I mean, I think, the very fact that you have Art Basel actually looking and setting up their first Asian installation of Art Basel, their third in the world, that is a sure sign that the whole world, the whole international art world is actually looking east. Mm-hmm. It is looking east. As a result, obviously, of the rise of countries like China, India, and what's happening in Asia. In fact, a lot of the big galleries have actually opened up branches in Hong Kong. Mm. You'd be surprised, like White Cube, Gagosian, and they've all set up branches in Hong Kong now. So I think they foresee that Hong Kong could be the gateway into China. For art.
Right. I mean, I've read about how China's trying to keep certain pieces in the country and not let it flow out. I mean, before people from outside coming in and buying up their pieces.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course, that all happens after the recognition has been given.
Exactly.
I mean, if you think about it, when you look at the history of art as a whole, and we look back at how the history of art has developed over the years, if you look prior to the 20th century, everything was in Europe. The greatest works of art, of European art, everything, all the greatest movements and great art are all housed in museums in Europe.
Yep.
Right? And then we, in the 20th century, suddenly everything, the shift happened and it moved over to America, because in the 20th century, America became the land of the plenty. In the US, everything was happening. There was huge industrialization. There was a lot of money, and there was a lot of things happening in America, and collectors were burgeoning, and there were a lot of very interesting new art movements that all took place in America. You must remember things like pop art, things like all the big art movements. It may have originated in Europe, but the artists, a lot of them moved over to America because the American museums and the American collectors were ready for the new art of that period. Mm-hmm. They were not so caught up in the traditional, like Europe was. Now, so when you, this is my prediction. This is how I foresee it. But I think the 21st century is really going to be the art as a whole. It's going to be focused on Asia. And I think the first decade has already shown that, the first decade of this millennium has shown that really the focus has now shifted. I mean, for the first time, you've seen Chinese artists like Ai Weiwei showing at the Tate Modern. Mm-hmm. You've seen Anish Kapoor, showing at, the major museums in England, in Britain. So the Guggenheim is showing Chinese artists. I mean, suddenly the West is taking note what's happening in Asia.
Yep.
And it's the first time that it's ever sort of happened.
Mm. Ivan, you are one of Malaysia's leading contemporary artists, often called a thinking artist. Are you not excited that you're in the midst of all of this activity going on? I mean, you're here at the right stage. It's booming. It's starting to boom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit bewildered, by all that, but it has taken a while, 15 years of a journey back home to get
where you are.
Get there, yeah. So I think this time around to be chosen, you know, to be represented. It's good. I'm ready. For first time in my life, I feel that it's all settled, it's all calm, and, you know, to be able to be there and to see, to be part of a bigger bigger picture.
That's interesting. Wei Ling, just to go back, what is Basel art really? Or Basel art? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's Art Basel.
Okay.
Well, I think Art Basel actually really is, to put it succinctly, it is really an international platform. Well, Art Basel from the original Art Basel in Switzerland really is like, you know, they present it to the world, the most cutting edge, the most interesting leading galleries who were representing artists who were making works which are relevant to the time that they're making them in, I think, you know. So they would be showing, I think Art Basel is known for showing the best of what the world has to offer in terms of art.
So it's built up that reputation.
Absolutely.
Okay. How long have they been around?
I believe around 20 years.
It's a long time.
20 years, yeah.
And this is the first time they're moving or actually having the inaugural exhibition in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, exactly.
All right.
So, I know, it's all very exciting. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, and I've repeated this story several times. When I first set up the gallery, I was introduced to a gallery dealer in Singapore. And I remember him saying to me over lunch, he said, you know, Wei Ling, you know, Art Basel, you know, even if you've got all the money in the world, you can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of affair. They don't just accept you based on the fact that you can pay for the booth, but there is a very stringent sort of a process where they make sure that they only get the best artists and galleries.
And of this, you have to apply for this, don't you?
Of course.
Of the 600 galleries, you were the only one chosen from Malaysia. Do you think?
Why do we think?
Yeah.
Well,
why, Wei Ling?
I think Mira. Well, I mean, okay.
There are quite a number of galleries here in the country.
Yeah, I'm unaware as to how many people actually put in an application for Art Basel this year. But you know, we have most of the major or very serious art fairs in the world. They have a very stringent process in terms of selection of galleries that they admit into the art fair. So with most of these art fairs, there really is a process where you need to put in an application, you need to present, put forward what you're going to present, who you're presenting, why you're presenting that artist, why you think your gallery would qualify to be on that playing field. So you need to sort of make sure that, you know, you have to present, you have to put forward like your program, your gallery program for the last 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is, and then, you know, what you're projecting for the next 2 years, you have to give a synopsis about the project you're taking, why that project, you know, give reasons, you know, and then of course you also have to sort of like give them images of your space, your art, your gallery space, you know, the articles that have been written about you, the articles that have been written
tedious.
About the artist. There's a whole process.
Very tedious.
You have to go through, absolutely. But, you know, it's something that, I mean, look, we've participated in several art fairs, you know, around the world, from Taiwan to China to Singapore. I mean, we have participated in our fair share of fairs. But I think the ultimate art fair to be presented on is really Art Basel.
Okay.
I mean, it is really like, it is like dubbed the Olympics of the art fair, art world, you know.
Okay.
So in that sense, you know, obviously, you know that if you are selected, then you are on the same playing field as other similar level, you know, or galleries which have made the cut, who are sort of like up there, who are serious, who are presenting really interesting works of art by cutting-edge artists.
Sure. You got the call that you were selected. Mm-hmm. After which, what did you do? I mean, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go up and, you know, put up this booth and stuff. I mean, where did you even start? And then obviously Ivan came to mind.
Ivan
pulled, I don't know what, 500 different artists together to come up with his compendium.
That was the project that we had put forward. Yeah. That was a project that Ivan and I, we had talked and discussed wanting to be a part of Art Basel. Definitely. That was definitely something we had discussed. And so when it came to putting the proposal forward, I had discussed it with Ivan and said, look, are we going to put a proposal forward for this? Okay, then what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So then Ivan sort of said, well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to do this vending machine and I'm going to do vend art. And then...
Interesting.
You know, so that's how it started. And mm-hmm. so we put that proposal forward. The committee liked the proposal and selected it. And then they wrote to us and then they said, look, you've been accepted. And once they sent us that letter, then I said to Ivan, look, we're in. Oh my gosh, yeah. We made it. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Like, we got the email. And,
what an achievement.
You know, it was just sort of like, you know that, you know the moment when you get your exam results and you're like, oh my gosh, I dare not open that letter. Like, what are the results? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. And it was that real, that feeling of being like 18 again and getting your results and going, oh my gosh, did we make it or not? Like, you know. So, yeah, you know, it's an we're very excited and we're so happy and sort of like, yeah.
Good stuff. I mean, fantastic. Congratulations. When we come back, we'll find out what this whole vending machine is all about, which, you know, in my mind, how Malaysian can it get? Vending machine. We'll find out more about that as well as the Art Basel Hong Kong on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. With me, Lim Wei Ling, gallerist, and Ivan Lam, a visual artist. Now, Wei Ling Gallery has been selected to participate in the inaugural Art Basel, which is going to be held in Hong Kong. When is this actually happening, Wei Ling? Which
part
of
it? It's happening...
Oh, it's finished.
No.
Art Basel.
Yeah, Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. It's coming up next week.
Okay.
We head off to Hong Kong the 20th.
Sorry about that. When you looked rather, you know, surprised, I'm like, okay, did I miss this? Was it over?
It's next week. We're okay. Here just before. All so right. It's starting on Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Mm-hmm. We go and set up like early in the week.
Okay.
And then it runs until Sunday, the 26th.
All right. And Ivan, tell me about vending machine. What's this all about?
I think I had this idea about 10 years ago, and actually it's a good time to put forward the proposal and to get it, you know, really to make it this time. Basically, this is a vending machine. It basically you put your coins or your money, and then you select the whatever product you want, and then you get it. So basically, in this case, it's like getting art out of the vending machine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to get my head around this. So at the booth, you have a vending machine.
I do.
Yes. We have transported a 500-kilo vending machine to Hong Kong for the art fair.
So instead of seeing certain brands, it looks like a machine, vending machine that vends art. Literally, it was all packaged, decal, vinyl, all into a art vending machine.
Right. Yeah. And you have 500 artists, local artists, who are involved in this.
That's the part that we'll get to. Actually, it was the idea was to get 500, because the machine fits 500. So that was the goal, right? To get as many or as 500. 500 is a crazy figure to begin with. A lot of question was, do we even have 500 artists in the country? Actually, we do.
I'm sure we do.
So there must be a certain way that we sat down and generate, you know, ways to how to get people to be on board, how to get artists to be on board. So it took a long time to get everything right, and then send out the press release, send out things and emails, and word the email properly, the application form. There's a lot of things involved, legality, getting the work, paying the artists, and, you know, all sort of things logistically. Mm-hmm. I think
of course it must be a logistical nightmare.
It is
okay. Well, I'm just trying to imagine, if I'm a visitor, I come to the vending machine, how broad is it?
Well, it's about 4.5 feet.
Okay, not very big. Okay,
no, it's not.
So what am I selecting?
Okay, so while it works like this, it is a vending machine. I mean, just start, Ivan, I'm just going to butt in quickly just give a quick synopsis of this so that Mira can understand what we're trying to do, what we're doing
picture
here,
what
right?
you're actually doing.
Yep. So basically, it's a vending machine. And within the vending machine, Ivan had invited all the Malaysian artists to give him a work, a tiny work,
okay.
which would have been something like
5 by 8 cm. So it's just a small, it's just like a business card.
Exactly.
It's like a business card
okay.
size,
And then within the vending machine, he's made all these Perspex boxes within which sit these individual artworks. And the artist's names are on the Perspex boxes and stuff. So basically, in the vending machine, you've got... Basically, Ivan wanted to take the entire Malaysian art scene with him to Hong Kong. That was the basis upon which this whole idea came about. right?
Yep, that's right.
I mean, that whole...
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the idea, yeah.
Having, instead of only seeing my art, right, I want the whole... You know, basically, the premise is like, if you can't bring the international people or the scene to Malaysia, I want to bring Malaysia to the international scene. So it makes sense, you know. Instead of having your own 5 paintings or 6 paintings, yeah. Now you have 500 of them at one place and everyone get to see them really quickly. It's more so like a synopsis of what Malaysian art is. So it gives them a slice. If they want to know more information, they could obviously approach the artist themselves.
Fantastic.
Fly to the country.
Exactly.
So
that was the plan, you that see. That was the idea.
So how many artists did you get in the end?
38.
Oh no. There were some controversies involved.
There must be.
From what I hear, from what I've heard. So spill it. What's the story?
So it was good, you know, right in the middle of the project, right? You know, it's like, you know, how are we going to make this work? You know, we reached a point that, you know, it was so frustrating, you know, no matter how we go about it, how we slice and dice it, right? And people that are not on board, they are not on board, and there was a lot of bickering, there was negativity.
Well, what was the negativity? What were they concerned about?
Why so small? Why you? Why are you bringing this? You know,
yeah.
Why shouldn't the work be bigger? Why are you becoming the representation of Malaysian art? You know, so there was a lot of egoistical dealing, as in, you know, why you, why not me? What am I getting out of this? So there's a lot of what am I getting out of this rather than what are you getting out of it.
But why didn't they see the larger picture?
They couldn't. It was exactly. supposed to be to represent Malaysian art without race issue, without creed issue, without age, without representation, without status. It was all, everyone has the same size, everyone has a fair representation of each other, everyone's paid the same amount of money, right? So that would cut everything. Even myself would only have one piece, so you know, so that was it. But it totally what you're against, right? That is what it has become. So it's about you know, who you are, who you're represented by, what am I getting, what am I being front, am I being the back, you know. So there's a lot of
everyone's asking questions that
everyone
were asked.
Everyone wants a piece of the action. But no one wants to do any action themselves.
Sure. But as a gallerist, Weiling, how did you step in and sort it out?
Well, you see, this is the thing, Mira. Part. Yeah, I haven't.
Because
we haven't gotten to the best part yet.
I deliberately, you know, put Weiling way back, you know, in this project. And it's all mine. You know, the deal with me. It's nothing to do with Weiling. But
yeah, it's Ivan's project. Yep. Really. Yeah.
So because of that, more the reason they were so afraid that if I give you a piece of work, then therefore I'm represented by Weiling Gallery. I say that's not the case. You're represented by me. You don't deal with exactly. So these are the issues, right? That they couldn't see past the picture. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't see the positivity out of this project. They only see what it's not.
But what were your concerns, Weiling?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was really, as Ivan said, he kept me way at the back, and I'm like, cool, that's fine, it's all right. I won't show up. I won't, you know, I won't create a stir. I won't come in, you know. Yeah. So Ivan really just sort of ran with the project. We assisted him where he needed the assistance with, like, sort of like, you know, I think some of the letters and things, because we put application forms out. We did it all in a very above board sort of a way, you know, that when they, you know, if they wanted to download the application form, they could go to the website, they could do that. And then when they were ready with their works, they could send it to the National Gallery, or they could send it to us, and we would receive it for Ivan. But we were just sort of like the conduit for it, for the project to happen, but we were not, certainly not running the project. It was Ivan's project.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, really, I think, which, you know, which Ivan was looking at, was that all along with the work that Ivan has been doing, it's always been hands-on. Ivan is not one of these artists where he's got loads of assistants helping him to make his work and sort of thing. I mean, he does everything from start to finish. Okay, every single brushstroke that's put on there has been put on by Ivan Lam, you know, and every single layer that's put on there has been put on by him. So his work is, he's a bit of a perfectionist and a control freak in that sense. So everything is like hands on.
So in a way, you took on the role of a curator.
Yeah, in a way, exactly.
So this project was sort of like Ivan coming to the point where he said, okay, you know what? I'm going to just try to let go and give myself to these people, to let the rest of the artists, you know, be the brushstrokes for my paintings. So let them go with it. It was the first time he really sort of surrendered. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good word. Surrendered. And, you know, and when he did surrender, he was sort of opening himself up. Mm-hmm. And opened himself up he did, because then he got this whole barrage of this whole reaction from the scene, which was totally, well, not unexpected, but at the same time
we didn't know the magnitude
of the
what does it tell you from all of this? I mean, obviously the industry has issues to, you know, sort out.
It just reinforced the statement that, you know, why the international scene is somewhat bypasses. I mean, Thailand is doing better, Indonesian, Philippines. So in a way, it's a nutshell that, you know, we couldn't get our act. There's no collective and it's not cohesive.
Yes.
that someone that wanted to take Malaysian art to that scene, and instead of supporting that, right, it was like totally condemned and would be far away from it.
Would you say if it was done on a government level, do you think people would have been
no matter how you slice and you dice, you could even bang backwards for these people, right? It just wouldn't happen.
In fact, no matter which artist, I think any artist who came onto the scene to try to do something like this, they would be pulled down. It's sort of like, you know, crabs in a bin, right? You're trying to climb out.
That analogy is like a ladder.
Oh, we've heard that crab story far too often.
Exactly.
Don't talk to me about it, of all people. I should know better.
Okay. So yeah, you know, Mira. So it was. I mean, I think initially when all the negativity started coming, we thought, okay, fine, but. As it wore on, it became sort of an enlightening experience, which is really great. Yeah. And, you know, it's totally worked to Ivan's advantage.
How so? Tell me. So 38 artists, 462, tough luck, you know, too bad.
So it was really like surrendering your whole fate of the project to these 500 people. They would be the one to make your break your project, right? So it's like, how am I gonna turn this? How am I gonna see the glass half full? And then it come to me like, it has to change. It shouldn't be about a number game. It shouldn't be, because everyone was asking, oh, how many people do you have now? Do you have five? Do you have, you know, it is so they are so caught up with the numbers, you know. So I said, it's not whatever people submit. The deadline, it was extended like twice, you know. It was just crazy to bear. I said, so it's okay. See, we stopped at April 10th, and then that's it. There's no more submission. Regardless, the show must go on, right? So I titled the work after giving much thought to it. This is it. This is what the Malaysian scene is about. This you have to present a fair truth that this is what it is. So title work is 38/500.
Ah,
yes.
So instead of highlighting what's present, right, you highlight what's absent.
Yes.
So in the machine, there still be 500 works.
Yeah.
But only 300, 38 will be filled. So there'll be empty cartons,
yes,
empty perspectives.
Yes.
So it's just important, right, that you present what you're given.
Of course. Mm. So who's going to explain all of this?
Oh, that's at what the booth. We're all going to talk about.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conversation. People say, debate, you know, why is it empty?
Yeah.
That's going to be the first question.
That's right.
Yes. Why 38 out of 500? Oh, okay.
And she's like, the 38 people that submitted, they're great. You know, we become friends, they were correspondent, they were just energy. This is the 38 people that pulled through this 500 to get through. I mean, you can't focus too much on this negativity, but the 38 people that submitted were great works, right? They're all on board, they are forward looking. I think they just want to give work, and that's it.
Okay. How do we move forward from here? Are you in a position to make a difference to the whole art scene? I mean, obviously we have, you know, problems and gaps and stuff. Who ideally can is in the best position to address some of these issues and make people understand?
Well, Mira, you know, I think
I'm just disappointed because
of course,
artists come in and say, you know, it's a tough world, you know, it's hard to make money, there's not enough government support, there's, you know, not enough galleries, there's, you know, everyone's got all sorts of their version of, you know, challenges that
they're
faced with.
Sure.
And if you ask me, there's nothing to lose in this, in a scenario like this. Yeah. Just put your art there. I mean, if it does well, it does well. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's an international platform.
Absolutely.
For you.
Yes.
Yep. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Mira, you should be an artist. Then you could just give me some
work. No, I can't draw to save my life. I'm not even going to attempt.
You know what? I think in a perfect world, everyone would think that way. But obviously, in this instance, it became an ego issue. It became an issue of, why aren't I doing it? Why aren't I being the artist taking all these other artists with me? You know, why is it Ivan? You know, these kinds of, why him? That kind of a question. So, you know, in terms of looking at the bigger picture, in terms of looking at how do we move the scene forward, it's very difficult for us to have control of everyone else in the scene, you know. And personally, as a gallery, and I think for Ivan as an artist, we have to chart our own paths. That's really what it is. We have to make our own path and chart new territory ourselves. Because if you get drawn down and pulled down by the rest of what is happening in the scene, you'll go nowhere. So I had to put my head down. My focus is just to put my head down. The artists who are with me, everyone just moves forward. Uh-huh. You keep developing. You just keep working, taking risks with your work as a gallery. I will take risks as a gallery. By doing a fair like this, it is a taking a risk because, you know, participating on that level, there is a huge financial drain on the gallery, but it's something that we feel is necessary to take us, put us on that platform, on that international platform, to show the world that, look, Malaysia has got some art and we are here and we're representing Malaysia. You know, there are galleries from all over the world. We've got Singapore's got 3 galleries. I think Thailand's got a few. Indonesia's got a few. Philippines. And we are the only one holding that flag for Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think, Mira, we can only try to move forward and you know, set an example, I think, you know, and hopefully everyone else can follow, you know, in their own way.
In their own way, yeah.
You know, because it's an uphill battle. If I get sucked into, you know, the negativity and everything else that's going on, then I'm never going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm just one of these people like, okay, I'm just going to move forward and let's just go for it, you know. And hey, yes, there were some stumbling blocks with the project initially, but it's turned around and it's actually worked out really well now, and we're so excited about showing it in Hong Kong.
And on the brighter side, on the brighter side, you're actually going to be amongst some of the most important galleries. You're going to be among some of the most important artists. You're going to be among some of the most important dealers. What does that feel like? Overwhelming.
Totally. I mean, I'm speechless, you know.
I mean, as an artist, are you excited?
Yeah, standing on the shoulders of giants this time, yeah.
Yes, it's going to be, I know, Mira, I mean, you know, truly, Art Basel attracts truly like the superstars, not just of the art world, but the international world at large. You know, I mean, we're talking, you know, you're going to have Jeff Koons there. You know, he's like major American artist. You're going to have Murakami probably at the, and he said the man himself.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you're going to have Damien Hirst will probably be there. You know, his works will definitely be there. And then you've got, you know, Anish Kapoor's work, you know, Ai Weiwei's work will be. I mean, we're talking
about. Will Ai Weiwei be there?
Well, I don't know if Ai Weiwei will be out.
Well,
but,
I'll come,
you know,
then.
Exactly.
I'm dying to meet this man.
Correct. So you're going to have major people, I mean, the major collectors from around the world, an international world, there, walking around, potentially seeing the work that we're presenting. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that really is, you know, it's an indescribable feeling, I mean, truly. And we're really so excited to sort of be there. And, yeah.
Well, all the best, really.
Oh, thank you.
I'd love to have you back just to find out how it panned out.
Yeah.
And, you know, how,
yeah,
what the reception was like,
to.
You know.
We've been more than happy to. You should come, Mira, my goodness, you know.
Only if Ai Weiwei's there.
Okay.
Well, look, he's there, I'll send you a text.
You'll get a signature for him. Yeah.
What about yourself, Ivan? I mean, as an artist, going to such an international platform, how does that feel for you?
No, it was.
Would you say this is your first chance or first exposure on such a privileged...
Yeah, I agree. I think it is. It's definitely this. I know it is, you know, on that international platform, right? And to have that playing field with all these artists that Willing has mentioned, and you're showing like a booth next to them, you know, this are monumental. So you kind of you know, it's a very humbling experience, I think, at the same time, you know, to be with them and to have the same dialogue, you know, as an artist, not so much about the status that you carry.
Okay, so 38 out of the 500, you will be one of them.
That's right.
Okay, I wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you. Thank
and I'm you, sure you will, you know, do really well. As I said, I'd love to have you back to find out how it all turned out.
Yeah.
Thank you both very much for joining me.
Thank you.
If you'd like more information, you can visit whaling-gallery.com or you can just go on to artbasel.com. Lim Whaling, gallerist, and Ivan Lam, a visual artist on the Whaling Gallery at Art Basel, Hong Kong, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.